You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
All right. If the red line is to be believed, I believe we are live. And hello, everyone, and welcome to an exciting episode of Low Key here on the We Are Libertarians Network. My name is Harry, a.k.a. The Moving Target. And welcome to this exciting episode of... Is Gen Z screwed? So this is a concept of mine that I've been like trying to get producer Paul here on the show to talk about, because I kind of got a little blackpilled a little bit watching this this video from the Lotus Eaters talking about, like, and also a video from Lewis Rossman of like things that are just happened attacking Gen Z's ability to do things that are basically the rungs of the ladders that a lot of us dig to get to where we are. That, like, I can actively look behind me and realize, like, a lot of those are gone. Like, most people are like, well, how did you get to it? Like, well, terrific honest, you can't. I didn't destroy that ladder. Someone else did. I just went back there and realized the ladder is gone. But it'll be an interesting discussion as we go through this. And hopefully, producer Paul can pull us into the white, back away from the darkness pit that the Lotus Eaters put me into. So, all of it rests on producer Paul Schroeder's, and since we keep saying his name, let's bring up the financial guru, astrologer producer Paul. Introduce yourself.
Hi, I am a financial guru, astrologer, and I will be guiding you on this journey to financial solvency. And if you buy into my program right now for $19.95 a month, I will teach you economic lessons that can't be found anywhere else, like don't pay people $19.95 a month for economic advice.
But don't worry, you'll get a link to my Discord server that just says, don't do this.
That voice you're also hearing is Vincent. Go ahead and say hi, Vincent.
Hi, everyone. A local doomer here, just sitting here watching the world burn.
And we also have the person who's probably the guy who destroyed the rungs on those ladders, so the younger generations can't get up to him. Reinhold, go ahead and say hi.
I fought against that breaking of the rungs, but they happened anyway. My generation fought against it, but it was the boomers, man. They can't handle not having their piece of the pie that is the future generation's future, so that they can live comfortably.
Reinhold, do you have Discord open?
I was going to ask him the same question.
Do you have Discord open?
I can close it. My robotic.
Anyways.
I thought we checked this before.
Oh, it did, and then you started talking, and you're robotic. So yeah. That tells us that you have Discord open.
Let's get Discord open. So this should be an exciting talk. Like, all right, so like I would have sent the video to the other two, but they already proved to me that they don't watch videos.
Only I don't watch videos. You know, Reinhold would have watched 10 reaction videos of that one video by the time we got to this. If you sent it to him,
it's from the Lotus Eaters podcast with Sargon of Ka group. So Reinhold's not watching it. You know, he's, you know, they. What I still enjoy a lot of Sargon of Akkad's content. You know, it's just like anyone you would look on online. Do not trust talking heads. Go do your own research. You know, it's great for someone to kick the door open to think up a concept and go with it, but go through and poke at things. Don't just take things from, like, you know, some talking head. You know, like, some talking head said this, so there's got to be truth. Just like me, I say something, I'm gonna see some crazy stuff. Fact checked it. Make sure I'm right. Tell me if I'm wrong. Tell them off a percentage. You know, not gonna hurt my feelings. You know, because, you know, I misremember things. I'm trying to remember a bunch of different things. You know, I do IT for an entire company, and most of them don't want to memorize passwords or anything's at. You know, even though much of my document, they like to go off the documentation and just destroy things. So just don't hear they're there. not bitter. There's no anger there whatsoever. But
just pick the hotel. Yeah, I know you're watching, Jim. Just do it.
Anyways, the stuff you're hearing like that, that is stuff coming that happens behind the scenes. So that we that's just for the key holders. If so, you subscribe to our key holder and you become a key holder of Low Key, you know, you get to hear that behind the scenes content. So yeah.
Right. And the key holders get a discount on my monthly rates.
$5.
All right, so let's get into the content. So the gist of the video was basically, so there was two different videos that I watched. Like one I watched was a Lewis Rossman video. Was talking, he was Lewis Rossman, great guy, Lewis Rossman Repair Group. He's the video of a lot of people go to when they see like an Apple repair online. So he's eventually, he's, you know, he's basically, he's left New York City. He's got some great series of like why doing business in New York City is some of the worst place to do business at. Yeah, and it is
including getting a tax bill like 3 years after he left with his company.
Oh yeah, yeah, my favorite one is the other one is like, remember, it's not fraud, it's real estate.
And you can't get away with paying off you know, paying hush money to people. Just
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You can't, yeah, if you can't pay somebody, like, you're kind of screwed there in New York. Yeah, you, well, like, all right, I should see this series though. It's like he was trying to find a new office for his company, because company grew, and everyone kept were like, "Oh, 2,000 square feet." You'd go there and with the laser thing and measure it, and like it's 1,400 square feet there. Like, well, there's some shrinkage and some shared spaces. How do you shrink 600?
Shrinkage. Did they put the office space in a pool? Was it cold? Like, oh, I know Texas had that winter storm a year ago.
Oh no, this was New York. When he went to in Texas was dead on when they would say it was more like he was like, oh nope. They claimed it was 4,000 square feet. 4,000 square feet.
I didn't know rooms needed to be dry clean only. I'm just saying.
Yeah, some rooms are. Yeah, it was. Yeah. But what he was talking about is in his video, which this one's more like tech related, was like there's a lot of different things that a lot of us in the tech space that we used to do to get a lot of experience at our job, at our craft, and make a little bit of cash on the things. And it's kind of right. There's a lot of different things I used to do, like you can't do it anymore, like helping people remove their viruses, or because like most people, like most virus detector, like long as you stay up on it, you're pretty much fine, or you put, you know, it's, and it's, so everyone should be fine there. Please make sure at least you have got Defender on at the very least. Please, for love of all that's holy, run your updates and have Defender.
Well, what do you mean? I never use ad blocker on anything.
An ad blocker. Oh, ad blocker is self-defense. Anyone who's told you to turn off that pesky ad blocker obviously does not understand the danger which is on the internet. Your ad blocker is a great self-defense tool.
Yeah, and now is the time for the ad for NordVPN.
Come on, Reinhold. It's ExpressVPN. And ExpressVPN.
Reinhold, I'm gonna join in.
No.
Join in immediately. Good. Freezes.
Good as we get. Got nuked. And that's why you don't use that VPN service. What I wanted to, like, but the other thing it was talking about, so a lot of it was like screen repairs. Vincent and producer Paul, you guys remember working back at the recycling place, like we could replace screens on phones and everything else. And it was a good source of revenue, and it actually paid for us to help recycle a lot of the CRT monitors that the recycling place was getting. We was selling all this Apple stuff. And then even then, we was watching the rumbles of Apple preventing anyone to doing third-party repair or doing anything with these Apple devices. And the cult of Mac just crisply creeping into that space where you would find like, cool, I've got a whole box of perfectly good lost and found or things of Apple devices, but they end up becoming iCloud locked, so they can't activate to any servers because Apple have clocked them out, and it's basically just a pile of junk. So that can only be broken down to its base components. It's aluminum. It's to pull the battery out, the ribbon cables, you know, the screen. That's it. It is a nice, good whole unit, but since it can't talk to the activate to the Apple servers, and there's an impossible way to go back and get Apple or anyone to unlock it, it's just a just a big paperweight. It's a brick. It's meaningless. It's pointless. And it just added to a massive amount of e-waste. And if you try to explain this to any Apple user, like, well, it's cutting down on the theft. Yeah, okay. Well, shouldn't you be able to unlock it? Like, well, because they don't. Yes, yes. Apple should give away to like, okay, yes, we can find like we are a licensed repair recycler. We go through all these compliance hoops. Please allow us to like unlock this thing so we can repurpose it and resell it.
Nope. That doesn't make them money though, Harry. Correct. They want you to buy. They want you to buy new. You have correct. To buy new. Why would you repair something old when you can buy new?
Yeah, and now you've got Samsung. It's following the same through, like locking and activating different devices. And then even when it comes to replacing a lot of the screens on a lot of the machines, they once you have their special software or device thing like that, you won't be able to put your phone at rest or do little other screwy things with the firmware. So once you replace a piece on it, you lose some activation on it. And then we're not talking about like you replace it with just junk screen. You can like they allow you to buy like the correct screen or just take it from a, I've got two of the exact same phones, but one's a working phone, but I'm just taking the screen off of one, put it on the other one. Nope, not serial matched. And they put something in it and just drops the phone. And that's a piece of skill that you get a lot of people, like a lot of IT technicians or people who are technically inclined. It's a lot of it. That's your easy money maker. You used to make a lot of money like that in college, sitting in dorm rooms or just sitting out there, just switching people's screens out and just fixing people's phones. And it's like I said, it's one of those things that a lot of people like, that's a neat rung of the ladder. People used to make money. That is just kind of gone. It's gone. It's just ripped out from you. And it's not because like, well, the market changed, no one's using phones. It's like, no, there is more phones. The phones are more expensive now. Someone's probably more willing to switch out the screen for the $1,000 iPhone.
Yeah. Know? Well, and you know, that's getting into a whole set of issues around right to repair and kind of not really on topic for tonight, but yeah, the fact that simple IT work doesn't exist anymore in a lot of ways because either everything is so replaceable, like, I spilt something on my Chromebook. Good thing it's $35 worth of computer right. Because everything's online.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there's increasing replaceability, and then for the things that we actually spend money on, everything's getting so siloed and so so black boxed that it's impossible to work on.
Correct. Yeah.
The more expensive, the more strict it is to change it. And the cheaper it is, the more easy it is to replace it. So if something goes wrong in a computer, like if let's say you have a desktop and something goes wrong, there's so much modular stuff that now, and there's enough YouTube videos and people online that can go, hey, this is what your issue is. Here's how you're going to find what the issue is. Here's what you need to change. Here's how to fix it. The other thing, just part of the fact of the connection of the internet.
Yeah. Now, Reinhold, you've seen a lot of these iterations. Am I just like just spiraling here, or have you seen this before? Because like you've gone up, you know, you and I are probably one of the last few people that have actually changed the capacitor on a motherboard or shorted an IC here, right? That I haven't done one in years because anything wrong with the motherboard, I'm just going to go to a new motherboard. Am I just spiraling here or am I hitting on something? What do you think?
Now, the problem is that microelectronics from back in, you know, when I was doing that back in the 80s to now, it's gotten very much smaller and miniaturized to the point where it's really hard to do manually. It's got to be done by machine because of the level of intricacy that's got to happen. So when you're trying to change even if you're just trying to change a basic capacitor or resistor sitting on a motherboard, it's so next to everything else, it's really hard to pinpoint and get that specific piece out right and replace it without damaging everything else next to it. So that's really where that part of the work comes in is difficult to do. I mean, there's people who do it, and it does, but it takes a lot of work, and you gotta have a really, it's almost like being a surgeon, right? You gotta have a real steady hand and still be able to do all that. So I wouldn't tackle, especially when you're at a point where you can go buy another motherboard that was pulled off of a computer line that took, you know, hardly any time to go through for $20. Isn't that worth your time that you would spend trying to do it yourself?
Yeah, we've hit a very interesting point in which the rate and speed of production is much easier and cheaper to do than it is to go in and fix it yourself. That while before there wasn't a lot of options to go like, well, this thing on my motherboard broke and it costs another $2,000 to get another motherboard to fix this. I can go to this tear apart plot and get this one piece that I can solder onto the motherboard that would make it work. But now it's at this level of it's easier to just buy a new motherboard than go through all the work of tearing apart your old motherboard.
Right. When I grew up in the 70s, that's how I learned electronics, basically. And we had these devices, and when I had a couple TVs that just weren't working anymore, and we had sitting around. So I'd get back in there, and I'd start messing around trying to get them to work again. Right. Mm-hmm. And we're talking, some of those TVs were half run by vacuum tubes. My first guitar amp was a vacuum tube amp, right? So I learned all this stuff in an era where it was very large. Miniaturization hasn't happened yet. Right. And you could really get in and do stuff a lot easier, right? When I was in the Navy, we learned electronics. It was on equipment that, you know, was probably 30 years old by at that time. And that's so from the 40s and 50s. So It was mostly vacuum tube stuff, and it was very large in scale. So these days, as miniatures happened, that changed everything. When you're able to mass produce and machine boards out and other electrical equipment out to that precision to make things that much smaller, it changes the way you interact with those pieces. It's just not the same.
Yeah.
Right. It's much more intricate, and then fixing one thing is a lot. Trying to fix one thing could break a lot of other things because of how small and how close knit all the things are in the system.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Please bear with Reinhold's audio. He's also talking through vacuum tubes. But, but no, I remember seeing audio still there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Still chopping. Yeah. Yeah. When I first saw vacuum tubes, it was a TV, and I remember looking at it, and my father was trying to explain to me how it works. And I was like, "This is just magic. This makes no sense." And then opening a computer, this makes more sense to me. But yeah, okay, I see your comment on like, well, things are just getting smaller, so it's more difficult. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm more thinking about the idea that like, even if I get to it, I've got the skill to replace the IC chip on my board. But once I do it, it just don't boot no more. Not because I did it wrong, because the firmware said, "Nah, I don't recognize that IC. You don't have the right firmware. I know boot for you." You know, that's the half reason I keep my old Lenovo over here. You know,
it makes sense for if the company's trying to make money, and it makes it since, like Paul said, it's getting into a whole nother right to repair conversation.
Right,
because we've gotten to this point where it's where we have to have that conversation of, should we have right to repair, and what does right to repair actually look like? But that's a whole nother conversation for another day.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. That's which we've had this discussion of like right repair, which still needs to be readdressed. There's things that we have brought up and still like that are seeing like are still going on, you know, like it's, there's yeah. All right. So yeah, the other video I was talking about, now your audio is like really low. It's still kind of choppy. Sorry. Still choppy.
I'll jump.
It's okay. All right, it's fine. This last Windows update or something like that, I got it's you know, it has messed up all my mics. I don't even know why. Like, it split up the mic on my for some reason. You know, that one device wants to use the webcam, one wants to use the Kraken, the other one actually wants to use the Scarlet. It was just like, pick one,
please.
Pick one. No. And guess what? And the default was like just the port down here on the machine that was set as default for some freaking reason.
But we talked about it. My computer defaulted to the microphone in my PS5, in my PS4 controller that was attached to my computer.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, so
interesting choice.
Yep, I know. Thanks, Windows.
But yeah, to get us a little bit more focused on like what are these rungs that have been stripped away, like that is definitely one of them. Mm-hmm. But like as we've seen in the last 2 years, just the inflation alone is a huge part of, you know, maybe we haven't stripped out rungs from the ladder there, but we've certainly just raised the ladder a good 6 feet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, I don't know. Did you want to say something with that? I was going to run with it. I'm sorry. All right. Whether I was going to run with it is the simple fact that you're right. Because, like, right now, I couldn't. So we've got friends that are trying to go after and get their first house right now still. And if you have been saving cash these last few years to save up for your down payment, that's what just like, and almost like you should just lit it on fire at some points. You know, it's especially just trying to get 20% down on a basic house. And that's what this video was gotten me on. So the Lotus Eaters did out a video on like, is Zoomer screwed? And which basically what they were going after was taking your, because most people would start looking for their first nice place when they're 25. They're out of university, you get out of school, you may have gotten an okay, let's just say everything went right for you. You got out of college, you got a nice job, you know, and you're saving up your money. You saved it for 2 years. You've got, you know, close to your 20% down. Can you get a cheap, affordable house? And they were going around different parts of Britain and like, going around and just like, nope. And if they could find, it was just some of the crappiest, rundown, destroyed houses that they could get their hands on. And I'm sitting there like, oh no. And I started, and I did a small glance, you know, here in the United States. It's like, this can't be right. This can't happen. And which is my biggest rung that I did. Like, I'd be like, how did you get where I was? Like, my partner and I, my wife, like, we got a house, you know, and you know, we stunk our money into that. We was like, we got a inexpensive first house. Granted, it was 2008 financial crisis. We stuck our teeth in, so it just helped us get more house than we would have gotten, but we were on the path of getting house anyways, but we got more house because of the financial crisis than, you know, we would have gotten. Yeah. But and it is that look here. So, and that's why I bring Producer Brawl, because Producer Brawl is just like myself. He likes going around and looking at houses. He sees things. He likes looking at properties. And that's why I brought him along, because hopefully he could go through and go like, no, Harry, I could take your criteria and I could find some nice sample houses of what we're talking about. And
yeah, well, here's, and that's very much the thing. Like, just like with my dating life, I love looking at things that I'll never have. So I look at property and real estate constantly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, your criteria are very reasonable ones for this little challenge that you sent. Mm-hmm. What was your price point? If you'll remind me and the audience of that.
All right. So we're looking for like a house around, like, because you're looking for something like around $100,000, because that's basically what someone at 25-ish could probably afford for a mortgage. You know, so they've saved up, what, $20,000 in cash. So they ate nothing but ramen noodles. And they, you know, they've got their nice $50,000 a year job or something like that. They're making between $35,000 to $50,000.
I feel like that starting
this
point
is, this can is, work. I've got it. This is best case scenario.
Yeah, I was gonna say this, but when if you want to look at the companion piece of the last episode we did,
yeah,
when they have their degree and they try to get a job, they're gonna be told that they don't have enough experience and get like a shitty, barely making minimum wage job. I'm the doomer here, man. I'm the doomer. I see this.
It sounds to me like the numbers you're giving.
Uh-huh.
the numbers you're giving sound a lot more like 20 years ago instead of today.
They're not going to have 20,000 saved, Harry.
Yeah, 20,000 saved. 20,000 saved is not going to do anything because houses are going to be at least 100 grand. I bought my first house at like 40 grand, right? You can't do that these days. Not if you want anything livable.
Even just your starting point of 20 grand, right? That's assuming that they didn't leave with a bunch of debt that they constantly have to pay off. So that's gonna massively chunk into their money anyway.
Student loans, man, to get that job with the degree.
So the only way they have to get student loans to get it.
They got full ride. All right, they did full ride. Turkish oil wrestling. Okay, full ride. They got out of college with no debt.
I mean, if they just means that they were either privileged or really poor, that they got one of those really good scholarships.
Or they really don't need financial advice if they can
do that. Exactly. That's the point.
They kind of nailed it already.
Yeah. If they left with no student loan debt leaving college, that means they either walked in with family money who already had a financial advisor who told them how to take care of their money. They are a financial student because that's where they're learning how to do it, or they got a full ride scholarship, and most of those people don't even really know what they're doing with that money anyway.
First off, I left college with no debt. Thank you very much.
So did I, but I also
did you need financial advice?
But I also dropped out.
I did and I didn't. Most of the boomer stuff I learned going in before I got to college was ineffective going into the 2008 financial crisis.
That's true.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm going to get a CD. Oh, CD? Get the CD for CD. I got to light this thing on fire for you. Like, I can give you better rate of return. Just let me just bet on it. Bet this thing on the horse track for the next. But anyways. So what you're saying is my criteria that I gave producer Paul is top tier. Yes, yes.
This is best case scenario.
Best case scenario.
And I'm going to say, like, yes, those properties exist. They're not pristine and what you or I would probably consider move-in ready. What you would consider move-in ready. I have low standards, just like my actual dating life.
You're 25. You're a college student. You've got more free time. Maybe you got some bros that help you. Okay.
Right.
So like, are you saying that you're living with people and that's how you're doing it? Or are you a single person? Are you talking about a single person? Because if it's a single person, then this isn't going to work, period. You're not factoring any of the water, internet, electricity, and any of the other bills attached to it. Back and forth to work. So you're not. You have like this perfect criterion. Even then, I just feel the doomer pouring out of me. It's like, cool, cool, cool. So when are they gonna move in with their three best friends?
Look, I'm feeling personally attacked. I didn't even have a house payment. I had to move in with every friend that I could find.
Okay, so.
But yes, houses exist. They're not pretty. One I just found.
See, look at this. Perfectly. Thanks. See, this is what I'm talking about.
This is what I would consider a serviceable first house. There's work that needs to be done here. I am not going to lie. But you move in, and the first thing you start doing is you start ripping out nasty carpets and putting in something better.
It was built in 1910. I see that.
It's got built-ins. Look at that. All right, yeah, but you go get some linoleums, finish that up, fix that.
Cool, cool, cool. So,
we've got Noah. Oof.
When they're working 40 to 50 hours a week to pay for this house, when are they going to find time to fix it? And that doesn't even have, it doesn't have an oven, so they have to buy an oven.
I mean, just because I refuse
to. They have a hell bathroom that goes into the garage. That's a hell bathroom.
Not a hell bathroom. This is
that looks terrifying.
Okay, I'm gonna admit I skipped over that photo.
Door directly to the outside, an empty hole above your head.
Somebody decided.
Hold on. Stop. So people who are listening to this podcast, I need one person to describe what they're seeing so people who are listening can understand what we're laughing at.
Okay, so this is somebody's attempt to add a half bathroom, but they didn't have a good place to do so in the floor plan. So the stairwell to the basement and side door has been converted to a sink and shitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now here's
above the toilet is just this shelf that leads into nothingness.
That is a cubby hole for your TP.
Yeah, sir. So that's built in storage. Okay. Okay. That being cynical. I do love like the security so you can know you're gonna be alone while you're
I do also love that they don't have a mirror, just a soap dispenser where the mirror should be.
That is a restaurant style soap dispenser.
Where the mirror should be.
Just use your phone. You got a front facing camera. Now,
as VC pointed out, this is a century old house. And the 1950s were lawless. Like, you just added bathrooms. You did stupid stuff.
They at least removed the carpet here when it would. What was so bad that they removed the carpet?
That's where the dogs used to stay.
Probably.
Yeah, that room smells like piss. What about it?
I know what I have. Ooh, some nice classic. So look at the classic doors. The electrical probably needs to be updated.
Oh, I guarantee it. But the real question is it serviceable? Right. Like,
if this bathroom's got a mirror.
Here's the thing. My house was in better condition than this. I'm going to say that much. Okay, but it had some similar issues. There's parts of the flooring that still need redone.
Comes with a cooler. Regarding the basement photo of the HVAC stuff, I think...
Ryan, what the fuck did you just post? Jesus Christ!
I'm scared.
That price for
that house is less than 5 miles from me.
That's so stupid.
Don't dox yourself, Reinhold. You want me to share that on the stream? I will say water heater needs to be raised off the floor. They have a water heater sitting on direct concrete. Yeah,
I have that exact water heater.
That's not gonna
that we just installed.
Oh, look at this expensive basement. I think this with some love and some care. This will be worth a lot of money one day.
Right. One day, once.
Well, you got to also depend. You also got to look at where it is. Mm-hmm. Is that area of the city that it's in going to improve or deprove?
Is this where the gentrification is, or are they pushing them out from?
Yeah. Is this part of an initial gentrification that's going to collapse away, or is this, you know, there's things like that to happen. In towns like this, I've seen over and over and over again where gentrified up and then it just kind of right away. Like,
okay, all right, Reinhold, I don't think you understood the instructions.
Just like
this house is rough and it's probably worth, once fixed up, will be worth more than this. But our 25-year-old college student fresh out of college can't afford this.
That's nearly five. I mean, that's the price that I'll be getting for my house once I finally do all the improvements I want to.
No improvements on this house. I'm talking about, look how it's destroyed it is inside. This is an old house, a very, very old, like almost Civil War type house, but it is just not
that. Oh my modernized. God, that bathroom. That bathroom was so unfinished.
I know, right? Like, Ryan, like, are you trying to, I don't know, like, there are some nice details on it, but the paint's got lead in it or asbestos. Hopefully, lead.
Most likely. Poor tub. What in the fresh hell?
Look how I want you to look how thin it is when you look at it from the corner. Mm-hmm. it doesn't have like a hallway down the middle with rooms on either side. There's no way. There's not enough room. It's room and room on the open. And yeah, upstairs, no, that, it's like one back hallway, and that's it.
Well, no, that's got a central staircase. But it's two over two. So one room on either side of the staircase on both floors.
The wallpaper's being held on by nicotine.
just this is a fixer upper for $475.
Oh man.
But what I am you're not buying a house, Reinhold.
Okay, man,
this is
we're not looking at like danger houses.
I got more land than that. I'm not asking like $800,000 for mine. That's
okay. All
right. People are insane right now with property prices. One thing I just wanted to say right now, people think that, oh, the market went up, and it did go up crazy. And trust me, I profited off of it because I did sell some property, but I didn't go crazy with it. And there are people out there who had stuff on sale for like over $1 million for what I already have. And there's just like, they're not going to get that. It just sit there and just goes down and down and down and down. And eventually they sell at a decent fair price. But
I'm not going to share it in chat right now because it'll be put up on the screen, and it's literally the house right next door to me. But they listed it for $375,000 after having bought it less than 8 months ago for
And they're on the bottom tail of the wave. There's no way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, they did a whole lot of work to the house, but no, it's so thankfully come down $25,000.
That's what I would say, first of all, in financial advice, don't look at the market trends on what's going on. Don't overpay for stuff. Like property right now is pretty bad, but also we talked to before about last year, people were selling automobiles for like 30 or 40% over sticker, 30 or 40,000 over sticker, and people were buying it.
We don't give out financial advice, okay? I will say this: I did talk off Dear Leader's head off of like some of the stuff that's going on with Carlos right now, and it does kind of want to do an episode with it, right? I'll tell you after this. I was showing him some of the stuff that's going on with it, like where the investment stuff is hitting the big banks, but the smaller regional banks are getting hit because of these car loans.
So since we invoked him, you know, are we allowed to say that certain people are the friend that we've been telling for years to buy a house and now it's too late?
I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, so all right. So since you guys said my challenge to put that he found us a really good house in my criteria. What criteria? We have a 25-year-old fresh out of college. What do you think he's making per year? I say what, 35 to 50,000.
What job are they getting?
I don't know. DevOps. Junior developer.
Are they doing an unpaid internship afterwards? Is that what's happening?
They did one in college. They're fresh out. They're, you know, they got some gits. They've got a job. They're making $35,000 to $50,000. Let's say $45,000 junior dev.
So then factoring in them still being 25, so meaning that they have all this college debt, assuming.
Yep, let's say that. Yeah, they're probably hauling around. Let's say 60,000 college debt.
Oh God,
which is
so terrible.
That's
it. Honestly, feels like on the low end too. It sounds like on the low end too.
No, that's incredibly low. That is, I went to IUPUI after going to Ivy Tech for my first 2 years.
The other thing we also had to factor in, right, is that we're talking about Indiana, which has a very low. Pricing for living. The price of living is really low here compared to California or Colorado or a lot of these places that have, or New York.
Correct. Yeah. So, I'm saying, like, if you can't do it here in the Midwest, dude, this is like,
actually, if I may be allowed to actually break into financial guru Escalja time,
even though none of us give out financial advice here.
This is general financial advice, not investment advice, nothing regulated. If you're a Zoomer in California, my financial recommendation for you is to get the fuck out of California.
Leave. Don't go to Austin either. Don't go to Austin.
Don't go to Austin. Don't go to New York.
Don't go to Arizona. Don't go to Florida.
Go to a blue city in a red state.
Either. Don't go to Philly either.
Yeah, don't go to
Indianapolis. Just don't go to
Indianapolis.
You'll vote for stupid shit. But
yeah, don't go to Chicago.
That's the thing is that like, I don't even understand that what we're talking about here is the cost of living in Indiana. Imagine if we did this whole the same project.
No, don't say it.
In New York or Maine.
Colorado.
Or Austin now, trust me.
Especially Austin. Yeah. People are literally calling Austin the new LA. That's how ridiculous it is.
It's how Alex Jones is going to get that, spend that money. He's going to sell the property he has in Austin, make that money back, turn into housing.
My favorite quote I heard about that was somebody's like, you know, Austin's a new LA because of the homeless problem in Austin now.
I know.
Yeah, it's rough, but we're talking about Midwest Indianapolis. Cost of living, and this is closer to the lower end of cost of living compared to everywhere else.
Yes,
and even we're talking about $50K as a saving is kind of high.
$50,000 is salary. That's the salary,
right? You said savings.
Savings in the savings. Let's say $10,000, which is 20% of 50,000, but he's going to get first time home buyer credit. Okay. You know, so they're going to help with his closing costs.
But we're also assuming that he's buying a house by themselves but there's the issue with that where a lot of your income when you're buying a house for yourself is all the unseen costs when you go into the house, the repair costs, the bills that you're not thinking about. And then you having to add that on top of just your everyday living. If you're trying to buy a house and just live in the house,
right,
you could do it, but you're not going to thrive in that house.
Right.
Probably. You're going to have a roof over your head, but you're going to be working to live.
Generally. Yeah. Most places. Yeah. Not necessarily. That's not necessarily the rule. There's a lot of people that could. Well, like I said, and that's what it is. Like what I'm seeing now, wasn't the case like 10 years ago.
No,
you could get this house that was moderately priced and it's not completely destroyed and turned to crap and not, you know. And
that house that I linked would have been a $15,000 house in 2010. Because one, its neighborhood is right off MLK. And I remember looking at properties in that neighborhood that were in about the same shape. And they were $15K.
I'll put an even better perspective. I actually have a perfect example. The childhood house I lived in is like two streets over where Paul lives. When my dad finally sold that house, he sold it for like $30K. Now it's, if you look at it, literally sold it for $30K. The next day they paved that street because it was literally covered in potholes my entire childhood. They literally repaved the entire street like the next day after he sold the house. And now if you look at that house on listings, it's like 200.
Jesus.
Yep. I mean, when they sold a house across the street from me for $8,000, flipped it and sold it for 240, I was pretty much done with this entire neighborhood. And I realized that I wasn't going to be able to afford to live here long.
I was trying to regentrify the white man out.
But yeah, there's a lot of other factors that plays into it. So we were talking about them getting this job right out of college that can pay them. The issue is, as a companion from the last time, that the market is now more competitive because there are more qualified people fighting mm-hmm. for that position that college kid just came out of, to that entry-level position that he would normally get, mm-hmm. isn't there anymore.
Yeah, so, probably. But generally speaking, but like we're not like that's the criteria I'm working with is like no, they've got the job, they've got the gig, they're saving the cash. But like if they've done all these things, they've got the thing. Can they even like purchase the thing that they want? That's what I want to like focus on. I think going on to the extraneous X values of the will they find this job? What job are they having? And going on like that and everything. I think it's just extraneous X values.
I understand your criteria and what and the, mm-hmm. the setting of this. Mm-hmm. I'm more talking about the topic of is Gen Z screwed on top of it because your criteria that this is what we want. Mm-hmm. From my perspective, is like. This is the most optimal position, and even then, we're struggling to find an actual place for this.
Correct.
Well,
And it's just kind of showing that, like, to get this optimum position, it's much harder now than it was before to get into a position that it's like, oh, hey, I just got out of college with this degree, going to this job, and they could just walk into that job and get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And part of it is just going to have to be the Gen Z and late millennials and other people who are trying to get their feet under them in this time period are just going to have to adopt a depression era mentality.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like you're going to have to accept less
mm-hmm.
and you're going to have to build it harder
mm-hmm.
so that the generation that comes after Z, like Alpha or whatever, can be the new boomers and fuck over
their generation. So you're saying that the Gen Z has to be the new baby boomers, be the new greatest generation to rebuild mm-hmm. everything. So the generation after it can be the baby boomers to fuck up everything.
And thus the cycle will continue.
See, Paul, that's very optimistic. In my brain, I'm the doomer that's like, cool, so they're just waiting for virtual reality to be better so they don't have to live in this world anymore.
So, Paul, can you find something else in the criteria of the house like that? Like, do you have any other examples of around that price range or even cheaper that is not so destroyed, or you know, do you find one like, yeah, you could technically live in this thing, but like, it's better than living like camping?
I mean,
or is Gen Z going to like hope you like van life?
living with other people.
I found one near Plainsfield for $35, but it's burnt. Just a little crispy on the inside.
It's got a fire pit.
I mean,
yeah, the property.
Yeah, so like, it's okay. Love's bathrooms are really nice. You know, that, getting a Love's shower token. It's really great. It's nice. You know, you just van life it. You know, but like even what you said, like always, like when you go to like renting, right? Like while Paul looks at his house, like if you go to like renting, like even rental prices right now is ridiculous. Like
renting is absurd. There are
people don't talk to me, telling me like they're paying like $1,700 a month, and I just like to rent $1,700. Are you paying?
Yeah.
What is this Taj Mahal you're renting?
Oh, it's a one bedroom, one bath.
Right, and it's just like this is ridiculous. This is $1,700. You know, you might as well just, you know, like just get a plot of land, put an RV on top of it, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you asked, this one's a little ways outside of town.
A little? That's not that bad. Once I-70 gets fixed, this is not, that can't be that bad, you know.
So you mean in 30 years?
First off, it's going to be fixed this summer. They're going to be almost done.
Right, but.
And then they'll find something else to refix on it.
I mean, it's a little dated because you can tell somebody has lived there for a long time.
Unlike the porch, or did we see the price that was this one is what was 120, right?
Yeah. Okay,
there, reasonable. You can get this reasonable, you know, 30 to 45 minutes, depending on what I-70 is doing outside of town. You know, this is gorgeous front room. It's got the really cool spiral staircase, so make sure you're not drinking too many White Claws as you go up and down. It's not ADA, not ADA compliant, though. You know.
Oof. Okay, so the kitchen cramped. got updated in the 90s.
And is also very cramped.
What do you mean? Well, it's a perfectly galley kitchen. You don't need some massive Taj Mahal because most people don't cook anyways.
I also this, like that.
The false from ceiling. And...
Mm-hmm. Go for it, Reinhold.
I'll say the false ceiling and the paneling scares me about what the infrastructure and the behind looks like.
I mean, yes, but you're also getting a house for under 150 that's livable. So, okay, I'm about to drive over to your house, VC, because somebody said something about a small kitchen, and that is the exact same size as yours.
Yeah, but mine's a trailer. But that's a house.
Why do you need? I don't understand why people get such large kitchens. Anyways, if you're cooking for like what 3-4 people, why do you need something so large?
I'm not thinking that it's like as not that it's a big kitchen. It's just the way they had that set up was very claustrophobic. Yeah.
I have a large kitchen, but I have a very small amount of countertop space. So I can't put like my air fryer and my, you know, Instapot and all this, and my, you know, the mixer that I've got, Heather, the nice kitchen made one. All that stuff doesn't fit on all my counter space because the way that it's made and angled, it just, I don't have the counter space for it. So I have to create new counter spaces or put islands in or do something else to make that work for me.
I recommend getting a
bigger gadget kitchen cart than what you were showing.
Get a gadget cart. Hmm? Get a gadget.
I got cart. One. Yeah.
Yeah, just it.
Yeah.
Just
get a I gadget use that. Cart. And I roll it around. And, yeah.
Yeah. Just a gadget cart. That's all it is.
You gotta love the doll, though, Harry. You gotta love the doll.
I don't understand the doll. And it's like in the attic. This is clearly a former attic.
And I just right. It's a converted attic to a story and a half.
I would make bedroom. Sure that this attic got zoned for active loads up here. Make sure you get that done. Bathrooms, nice. Okay, all right. Who's got an office with angels, aka Boomer Funko Pops, right here?
Yeah, this is accurate. Older than me.
What
this
is the
Boomer area? Yeah. You can tell by the paneling.
Fire pit that probably smokes up a lot. Barely. Okay. All right, got your sunroom, which probably smells like cigarettes. A garden.
It could be definitely be a good house.
Yeah.
See? With that price point, it's just more of...
What, 120?
It's definitely a price point they can actually hit, but it's also kind of... again, a lot of it in my brain also factors in that you have two incomes instead of one at this point. That in my brain, that unless you're in a situation like... Like my situation is, I basically got handed this trailer, basically paid for.
Yeah,
and they're like, "Here, all you need to do is spend like this. You need to pay an extra like $5,000. Not even $5,000. It's like, and the trailer's yours. I got handed this trailer, and then I had two incomes at that point.
Donovan does raise a valid point there. Having two incomes makes a huge difference,
right?
So. Yes. If there are any single libertarian-leaning ladies out there who would like to double their purchasing power, my phone number is...
Okay, all right, okay, all right. As much as...
here's my question. Do they still tell you that you can afford a mortgage for the amount that's three times your annual salary?
I know they did. I know they still did... when I went to go look for this house that I'm living in currently, that's what they told me. They were trying to get me approved for some ridiculous, redunculous loan. And I got approved for it. And I was just like, I'm not buying a house with that.
No, I sat and looked at it. And I was like, you're telling me I could do three times my annual salary. So let me figure it out. Okay, I'm spending half of my monthly income net on my house.
Yes.
On my mortgage.
They will give you a mortgage for that crap. It is, and I was just like, I'm not buying it. I mean, I've seen it. I saw it. They took me to it, and it was gorgeous. This thing had basically this massive garage barn with an office above it that I could have got. Pool, massive house. The thing was gorgeous out of a house, poor. All my money's going into the house.
And that's another thing that people need to realize is you buy the house that you need for your actual needs, not what you want. Like, right. Not, oh, well, hey, I'm going to have an in-home office and a rec room and all of this fun space. Because that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. I think
the thing is, like, you were talking about the barn and the office upstairs above it and all this other stuff. You can buy a basic house with a little bit of land, mm-hmm. and you can pay off your mortgage and then save up money and then build that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to have it day one.
Well, right? Like, my plan right now is to buy my house next door from the boomers once they go, because their son has like crap credit because he's buying these and he makes stupid decisions. He just bought an Alfa Romeo. Sorry, buddy.
Putting him on blast for no reason. Just putting your neighbor on blast for no reason.
Hey, he bought the Alfa. He knew what he was getting into. See, all right, so this is another one that producer Paul found for like 112. It's not bad. It needs some grass seeds.
You can like embrace a biodiverse lawn instead of crappy monoculture.
What's up with this? Private room in there. Garage
there. Oh, let me tell you, my brother built a little private room like that in there as well. But we live out in the country, mm-hmm. and he built his so that he could raise pigs and then not have to worry about taking them to the slaughterhouse.
We call that the Hills Have Eyes room.
What kind of boomer?
He had to have a nice refrigerated room.
Look at this! It's like I just would have got some L brackets and some plywood and what right here. Like this, oh god, it's just old.
Well, and it's not even, if you look at the three brackets on the bottom, they're not equidistant to each other, and that would completely drive me crazy, and I would have to rip it all out.
I didn't notice that. Now I can't unsee
it. Now you can't unsee it.
I mean, bring it up with the real estate agent. Maybe you can get it for $110.
Sitting there just staring at it like that has to go.
Oh, wait, I'll tell you right now, the office I'm in right now wasn't the size of the room that was originally. It was some changes made to make a hallway that didn't exist before because the house was expanded or whatever. So the light that I have in my room is not centered.
Okay, all right. This is a stupid flip thing that someone did here. See,
it should have gone on the other corner. It should go in the other corner.
They added gas, and this is where the gas line was. So they put it here. With no hood. There's no range. We have a gas stove with no evacuation hood.
And the top the top one is off. It's like crooked. It's like sprung or something.
It is. I noticed that too.
I'm not even going to guarantee that this isn't like a 3D render of the space.
Okay, so Paul's pulling
up AI houses. The White House could look like.
He's pulling up AI houses now. Gotcha.
I have seen some listings.
Show me the hands, Paul. Show me the hands.
Okay. I have seen some listings where they are right here. Definitely not like on the up and up.
Okay, so
that's just washer outlet. Yeah.
Okay. All right. It's this is a rough first house.
I mean, if you are looking for a first house.
I think a house is a house at that point.
Yeah, like again,
I just don't understand why they okay, I'm wondering if they relocated it, the washer and dryer, out of here to when they flipped. When they did this flip. There's a wall missing. I feel there's a room or something missing.
Oh, I can almost guarantee you that they took out a wall there and made this an open floor plan first room.
Open concept, blah blah blah. Oh. Blah.
Also consider just getting a condo. If you don't have like a need for like a yard or yard maintenance, you don't have to deal with that kind of stuff.
You know, I said that be willing to make sacrifices, but living with walls touching other people's living spaces is not a sacrifice I'm willing to make.
Is that a pee jug?
She's trying to zoom in and he can't.
Is it or is that oil? won't let me zoom in. Won't let me zoom in. It's just like, no, no, no. No.
Seems like a skill issue.
But yeah, a lot of this house conversation is, that's assuming if it's a single income, assuming that they're not with a partner or with a friend, that they can live with other people,
right.
Which would make this whole discussion a little bit easier. It's just more of the fact that that is the factor you have to think about more now than it was before is part of it as well. That while we talk about, like in the show, Doug, the Dinks, their whole thing is that they live such a lavish life because it's because they had two incomes and no kids.
I miss being a Dink sometimes. It was so nice. You guys have no idea.
No, I don't. I mean, technically I did, but I mean, that's a whole other can of worms. But that's the other thing that is that a factor into it is like, if assuming that it's two people or more doing this, it makes it way easier to go about the paying for the house and that kind of situation. But the fact that that's how you have to think about it is one of the big changes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I see, like I said, and I reiterate, I see what you're saying, but I think the exception is the X to the scenario that I would put there. I just see it as a tangent. That's all. I'm just saying, I am agreeing with you that
it is possible as a single person with that job secured and that money saved up to get a house, but it's not going to be amazing to live in like that.
But I think it also goes with Bruce Russell. Like, you've got to be able to like find out what you can live or can't live without. And I think a lot of different people, especially like when you see some Gen Z people or just other people, just even young millennials, that'll go into like, well, I'm going to go live in my van or go tiny house. It's like, well, you could get all, you know, like the money that you would spend for tiny houses, you could just get a crappy house and just fix it up, especially one that's a small house, and easily do everything you would do for a tiny house. If you do it at 300 square feet, you could easily do it with 1,000, which was like amazed when some people were like, well, I'm gonna go to a 300 square, like, just get 1,000 square foot house, do the exact same thing, I have all the room.
Yeah. But you're also assuming that they want to fix it up, and that they're as handy or as willing to do DIY stuff than some of the other people are, because that's kind of just one of their own. That if it's why get something big when you had, and invest a bunch of extra time and effort that you feel like you don't have, than to get a small space and live in that small space instead.
Yeah, but well, I think
at the point that you're buying a house, you're going to have to accept the fact that you're going to do some things for yourself.
Yeah.
Like, otherwise, accept the fact that you're never going to build equity and you're just going to wad up $1,700 a month and burn it, because
you're just gonna lease something or like rent it for like, you know, forever. Yeah, I think owning a house or doing anything that you own, you're going to have to do some DIY. Even you and your inherited trailer, you had to do some DIY.
Of course,
and, you know, put up the sleeves and like do something on. Yes, if you own something, you're going to have to fix it. That's just the way the world is. Whether it's a car, computer, you know, if you own something, you're going to have to roll your sleeves up and get in and fix it, or pay someone to fix it with that knowledge.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of different things that you, I think, one thing what pisses me off a lot of most people is that you have the knowledge to learn about just anything. No one is coming from God with the ability to do any like craftsman's work. These are skills that someone has learned, something you can go off and go do. You can get tools, you can do this thing, you can go off and go do this thing. Invest in yourself, buy yourself some tools, get some YouTube videos, get a book, or ask someone to find it, or ask someone to help you, and you can learn how to do just about anything. And for people like, well, I can't do that, it's like, well, that's just a trade-off. You've traded this off. You decided to play a video game, you decided to go to a LARP, you decided to go to a concert, you decided to go to Coachella, you decided to buy that really fancy tool that goes around your la 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 la, la that warms up, that self-warm, and it's, you know, like USC power. It's really nice, like $100, really nice. I recommend it.
You're getting very specific there.
Recommend it.
But these are just trade-offs that people go through. That you could go off and do this, expend this money, or you could take the time and invest yourself. And most people, they just won't. They just won't. And it just, I look at people as just like, could have just did this. This is,
yeah, but there's also your mentality as a person is very much everybody needs should be working to be the best version of themselves. And when people aren't, you get upset about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. 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 Because you just it's just a waste of potential. You know, it's just I understand that part of me like makes me like one bad day to be in the a terrible Bond villain. I get that. But but those type of planning like that, but getting a house or doing something like that, it's planning the future. You know, like I can't wait till I'm done paying off this house. I can't wait. I look forward to the day. I've got it on my calendar when like, yes, the last day, the last check of this thing is mine in 14 more years. Okay.
Right. And that's also another aspect of it, of understanding the difference of delayed and immediate gratification.
Mm-hmm.
And that delayed gratification of I'm going to own this house and this is what I'm going to do compared to this is where I just store my things and my gratification is not at this location. I'm going to build equity or do something else that's life experience instead of building whatever.
Well, it's not even equity and stuff like that. So me owning my house is also part of my retirement structure plan. Mm-hmm. So the idea that once I own the house outright, all I have to do is keep money back for maintenance on the house and the taxes on it. So it helps bring down my expenses down. So like, well, I have the capability to retire because my expenses go. Now, granted, I've got to go here in a bit and use producer Paul to help me appeal my assessment because my land went from 20,000 to 60,000 magically in a year. Thanks.
At that point, I'm almost to the point of forsaking the nap and undergoing terroristic action.
Whoa, Paul.
We're one more year of a 20% jump.
Just stay calm. You're going to listen to the Reinhold's episode about the history of the nap, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, it went from 20,000 to 60,000. This isn't 20%, Paul.
I'm speaking from my own experience.
Okay, right. 200%. It's so fucking hilarious. As you get for cooking all that good food on that grill, bro. They smelled that smoker. They brought that price up.
Oh man, yeah. Makes me feel any better. I did pick up 6 pounds of pork shoulder from that admire.
I told you, man.
Buy one get one free pork shoulder. Like what?
Pork's always on sale. What? You never looked. I don't.
It is. Always I'm sitting there. And this guy was just like, he's like 4 of them in his car. I was like, who got a big party? He's like, it's buy one get one free. Like, boop, boop, boop. How much room I got in my freezer? Yeah. All right. So if you've got. Let's wrap this up. This thing is getting long in the tooth. I will say this, like it's while like some of you may have seen my scenarios not close to realistic. This to me is like this is base case scenario. You've kept your nose clean, you really need to work to get to something. This is to me middle of the road. I don't even think this is best case scenario. I think this is middle. Either people are going to be below or below. I think this is like the baseline. To me, this is baseline. And I don't know. I don't think the run is completely gone, but it's going to be a lot harder for I don't want to think it's going to be harder for the next generation, but like it's clearly is. Everything is there's so many different generations that has gone before us. So there's just they've felt good about destroying the ladder so you can't get close to them.
As the residential late millennial, literally 2 years before the cutoff, I can see the doomer mentality of watching is I've seen people work hard and feel like they've not gone anywhere. I've seen people invest all this time and effort into something that they don't really love because they believe that's the only way that they can succeed in life. It's one of those with the cost of things increasing and how the world is right now. I can definitely understand why people are like, well, I just want experiences at this point, because at least I'll enjoy something before I die, because I'm not going to be able to afford to retire, because all the boomers are taking all the retirement money and my taxes are going up to pay for the more boomers they're getting on the retirement thing, and they just start to spiral out of control because they feel like what they do doesn't matter, even though it's probably the most important thing.
Correct. Yeah.
Because they feel like everything is so screwed up to them at this point that why try?
Yeah. And I can understand that phenomenon, but like I would tell you, like, hey, don't do that. It's if you're in your 20s, your late 20s, I'm telling you right now, most companies won't give you real money until your 30s. Sorry, most people won't. I don't understand what it is. I didn't really hit like a whole bunch of points I hit after my 30s. I don't get it. I don't understand it myself. But it's just what it most of the time was what it is. It is what it is. The other thing is, yes, experiences are nice, but you know, like try to invest in yourself, and you can pull yourself into different scenarios and get other trade offs. Understand the difference of compound interest and a way that can help yourself out. But just if you go all in with the idea, just like some of the Gen Xers, that you're not going to make it or you're going to die soon, trust me, it's a long road between 30 and 50. Long road, and then even longer from 50 to 80. These are long roads. It feels quick. You're feeling that this is going to blink your eye, going to be 80? Wrong. It's not really long, so plan for the long haul. Your body's meant for it. Set yourself up for success. So this is a podcast that is recorded live on Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So please come join us. Get on twitch.tv/wearelibertarians, that's R's and A-R-E, or youtube.com/wearelibertarians. Come listen to us, hang out with us, you know, get on live stream and send us some cool chats and hang out with us and be part of the conversation. Next week, hopefully, I got Reinhold I wanted to do a nice good evergreen episode on the history of the non-aggression principle. I've got some questions, and Reinhold's got some really neat lore that I always, you know, that's, I don't know, it's like a segment or something that I always got, just forcing Reinhold to explain something for me that I've always had like a good question about. Like, I've read about it, but like, you know, it's completely different for someone who's probably seen it or from the people that were there. Like, you know, yes, Reinhold's it. What?
Stream on Friday?
What?
Isn't it this Friday? Because that's what we're doing at this one, or is it?
No. I don't have a Friday for this May. May is going to be super busy. Trying to do something on this Friday in May, that ain't happening.
Friday,
yeah, May ain't happening. Yeah, most were like, Reinhold's going to tell us by Friday the way we can get to like this. So hopefully we can do this one on a Monday episode.
I was just getting clarification.
Okay. Yeah, but yeah, try to do something this Friday in May. May is way too busy. It's this month is jam packed with everything, especially here in Indy. Yeah. All right. Say bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
I might be going under medical Friday too. So.
There you go.
Bye.